بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا أطيعوا الله وأطيعوا الرسول وأولي الأمر منكم قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين المهديين من بعدي أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله وصدق الرسول ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله This is our lesson number 20 concerning the wisdom of actions. And in this session, I would like to explain once more that how we derive laws. In Islam, alhamdulillah, we know and we have been discussing that how we formulate laws and how we extract, deduce, how the process of making the law, the rule, the regulation in Islam takes place. Alhamdulillah, we know that from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, we have four sources of law. One is Quran Kareem, second is Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and thirdly is Ijma, that is consensus of opinion, and fourthly is qiyas. Qiyas is shari analogy via sources, that means the shari analogy will have to be done according to the Quran, according to the sunnah and ijma of the mujtahideen. Concerning ahadith, remember, ahadith forms part of the sunnat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As far as laws and rules, regulations are concerned, that is masla masail, that is jurisprudence, that is what you have studied as diniyat. These laws are made after looking at the Quran, the Sunnah, the Ijma, and Qiyas. So when any law you see in your elementary books of Diniyat, if you look at Bashizir, Talimul Islam, Talimul Deen, Nurul Iza, these laws have been formulated by the mujtahideen after they have looked into the Quran, the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which includes the ahadith, and then they look at ijma and qiyas. Ijma and qiyas, these terms I will in future explain in detail. But for now, what we should understand, that these are the four sources. Concerning Quran Kareem, we have explained to some detail how the mujtahid and what he looks for and who is qualified to interpret the Quran and the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The difficulty that has come about these days, that is why we have got the saga of woman going to the masajid, woman going to Eidgah. These have arisen because of no proper understanding of deen. When a person does not have a proper understanding of deen, then difficulty arises, misinterpretation takes place, wrong interpretation take place. In fact, because of lack of knowledge, we will have wrong information coming across. Especially, we can see concerning these two masalas, women in the masajid, women in the idgah, those who are propagating and promoting this idea that women have to come to the masjid and women have to go to the idgah, they are doing this because of lack of knowledge or misinformation, or they are not looking at the Sharia holistically. Because they are not looking at the Sharia holistically, the result is, unfortunately, that they quoting some of the text, leaving out some of the text. They are not quoting in detail what the Quran, the Sunnah, the Ahadith, the great Mujtahideen are saying, but they just take a few Ahadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and they go by it, hang on to it, declare everything other than those Ahadith as erroneous and wrong, and they are dogmatic and stubborn on their views. And those who say no, we should be very cautious and not allow in our age of trial and tribulation, because of reasons from the Quran and Sunnah and Ahadith and the statements of the Mujtahideen, the female from the Masajid, they are branded as fundamentalist, orthodox, or people who do not understand the Sharia. Whereas it is the other way around, that those that are insisting, they are in error. Now this is as far as the masail is concerned, that we derive it from the Quran, from the Sunnah, which includes the Ahadith of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and also Ijma and Qiyas. As far as Aqaid is concerned, as far as belief is concerned, then it is very clear that there the sources of derivation are Quran. And which aspect of Quran? The Nusus Ekatiya, the clear, categorical, unambiguous text of Quran al-Karim. Secondly, the Ahadith. That means the Ahadith of which nature? The nature of Mutawatir, continuous in nature. And third, source of derivation for belief structure in Islam is Ijma of the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Now we can see, because of the importance of the belief structure, we cannot have anything that has got any form of any fiber of doubt. That's why it is Nusus Katiya of Quran al-Karim, clear categorical text of Quran al-Karim, and Hadith Mutawatira, and thirdly, the Ijma of Sahaba Ikram, radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Now, as far as the Ahadith is concerned, we should understand basic information. Firstly, the term Hadith literally means new, and it is the opposite of old, Kadim. And the original word is kept when defining it according to the Sharia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech is Kitabullah, which is Kadim, ever existent quality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus, the speech, action of, and discourses of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they are hadith, meaning they are not qadim, they are not ever existent. So one definition we should understand, that hadith in relationship to qadim, that hadith is temporary, non-existent, qadim is ever existence. And the example of hadith is the discourses, action, and the speech of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whilst the example of qadim is Quran Kareem. Now, the account of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his speech, his actions, his discourses, they are known as hadith. In other words, this is known as the text of hadith. Now, there is a difference between hadith and sunnah. Following an imitation is not included in the definition of hadith, whereas this is the part of meaning of the word sunnah. May yuti Allah wa Rasul, faqad faza fawzan azima. Whosoever follows Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has attained a great achievement. So here we got this word here, following, as part and parcel of the definition of sunnah. So the literal definition of hadith and sunnah may be the same. The difference lies in the practical application of these two. Those statements and practices and discourses of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which are possible to follow, are regarded as sunnah. And these are included as part of the hadith, together with those statements, practices, and discourses which are not possible of following. See, Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for example, has mentioned about the Day of Judgment. In the hadith, he has mentioned about the signs of Day of Judgment. He has mentioned about Jahannam, Jannat. He has mentioned about the ahwal of the qabr, about the conditions in the grave. He has mentioned so many things, but we cannot follow those things. Yes, this is information. It is malumat, and it is for our ilm, enhancement of our ilm. But it cannot be followed. Then there are those things which have come down from Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Later we will discuss it. It is called continuous amal, which has been transmitted from the time of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam right up to now. We have got this action of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, which has come down. Continuous action. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam did it. Sahaba ikram radiyallahu ta'ala anhum ajmain, they did it. Alhamdulillah, tabi'in did it, tabi tabi'in did it. And it has reached us, and we also do it. And it is part and parcel of Shariat, and no one questions it, and no one argues about it, and no one contests it, because there is a continuous chain of transmission as far as the action is concerned. Some people are very erroneous when they discard this. They say we cannot find it in the text, therefore we should discard it. Remember, we are from the Ahle Sunnat wal Jamaat, meaning that we acknowledge the written sunnat of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the recorded sunnat, written sunnat, that is the hadith. And we also acknowledge and believe in the transmitted sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in essence, hadith is general, which includes sunnah and non-sunnah, whereas the sunnah is specific at times. Now, the hadith becomes part and parcel of the sunnah. A second meaning of hadith is when we talk of the text and the chain of narrators, they are also classified as hadith. Now, in view of this connotation, the definition of hadith would be, it is that speech and action and discourse which is attributed to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If the chain of narrators is strong, then that speech and action of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be regarded as strong. And if the chain of narrators is weak, then the speech or action of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be regarded likewise. This meaning would include the classification of ahadith. That is why you have got so many different types of classification of hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This, however, does not mean that there is a doubt in every hadith and there is uncertainty as to its acceptance or not. In fact, the ulama have properly classified and categorized the ahadith subject to certain principles and regulations which discern the acceptability of the hadith from the unacceptable. All praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we had such a vast treasure of scholars who classified these ahadiths. They spent their entire lives behind compilation, study, classification, categorization, preservation, protection, defense, upliftment of the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When you study the books of history as far as the hadith scholars are concerned, then you'll be astounded to find and discover that entire lives were spent on teaching, studying, compilation of ahadith. Even up to date, alhamdulillah, in so many parts of the world and so many darums of the world, you will find asatiza, you will find teachers of ahadith spending their entire life behind teaching of ahadith for petted salary, for very small salaries, but because of love of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they, alhamdulillah, go on and on teaching and learning and practicing upon the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is why the future lessons where we talk about their classifications of the hadith, the ramifications of the hadith, and the principles they use to classify these ahadith. This topic of ahadith is very vast. The treasury and the multitudes of ahadith which have been compiled are done so under the second connotation of the word hadith. This is the means whereby the hadith of sunnah and hadith according to the former connotations are discerned. So we have got the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We have got the ahadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And remember that these ahadiths are checked. They have got principles to check it. That is why you have got the principles of ahadiths. Every scholar, every morana will study, every sheikh of repute will study these classifications, these principles. Al-Nukhbatul Fikr is one of the kitabs that you study by Hafiz Ibn Hajar Asqalani Rahmatullah Alayhi concerning the science of these ahadiths. Sadly, some modernists have specified the sunnah as a proof and tarnished the honor and status of the ahadith. According to them, their own fallacious research, they unfortunately, what they do is they think that the ahadith is concocted and weak and not authentic. This is a grave error of these claimants, because on one hand we see this group of people adhering to the set way, claiming this to be the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We now need to ascertain whether they are true in their claim, because proof and evidence is required. Since there is a possibility that the sunnah of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, tabi'in, or the ijtihad of some mujtahid is included in the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, besides the hadith, there can be no other proof of their claim. They need to prove to us through a reliable chain of narrators that their actions are in conformity to the speech or practices of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Basically, what these people say, that Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam's statement and his ways, that is sufficient, and we do not have to have the text recorded. This is not correct and erroneous, because you have to move with both the sunnah that is recorded and the sunnah that is not recorded. Both form the way to follow and way of salvation. One cannot say that the hadith is just mere history, or one cannot say that the hadith is contrary to the sunnah, and one cannot say no, the narrators are not reliable. These are all synthetic influences to try and discard the ahadith. Historically speaking, just like we have got those who denied the Quran Kareem and left the fold of Islam, then we have got another group that they say Quran is sufficient. We don't require the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we do not require the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They also have left the fold. Then now you get another group coming about. They say we will adhere to the Quran of Nabi Quran, and we will adhere to the sunnah, not the hadith. They are also deviant, and they are misled and misleading. Still yet you get another group. They say no, we'll adhere to the Quran and the hadith, but we leave the sunnah. All these are deviants, because from the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, we will adhere to the Quran, the sunnah, which encompasses and includes the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ijma and qiyas. We will not discard anything. Since sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and hadith, according to the definition, have the same meaning, some have interpreted sunnah of Rasul as hadith. They have interpreted the narrations of Sahaba and Tabi'in as sunnah. It is for this reason that when Abdurrahman bin Mahdi Rahmatullah Alayhi was asked regarding Imam Sufyan Thawri, Imam Awza'i, and Imam Malik Rahmatullah Alayhim, he replied that Sufyan Thawri was the Imam of Hadith and not of Sunnah, and Imam Awza'i was the Imam of Sunnah and not hadith. And Imam Malik rahmatullah alayh was the Imam of both the Sunnah and the hadith. So now from this we can make out that this great scholar Abdul Rahman bin Mahdi rahmatullah alayh, he differentiated between the Sunnah and the hadith. That is why he classified Imam Sufyan Thawri rahmatullah alayhi as the Imam of Hadith, but not of Sunnah. And he classified Imam Awza'i as the Imam of Sunnah and not of Hadith. And then, alhamdulillah, he stated a nice thing. Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi was the Imam of both the Sunnah and the Hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So by this we can make out that these great scholars, they also differentiated between the Sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam and the Hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some have considered Sunnah to be practical demonstration and the Hadith to be theoretical, in theory. Therefore, they regard the actions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam to be Sunnah and his speech to be the Hadith. Remember that his speech was recorded. His speech was recorded, written down, preserved. Whilst the Sunnah was the actions, what he did. People saw it and they emulated it. That is why Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for example, many aspects, when he came to Hajj, when he came to Salah, he said that you must make this Salat like how you see me do it. Now, that means they saw him perform the Salah, they emulated it, they imitated it, and this emulation and this imitation was passed on generation upon generation. Not everything was recorded per se. That is why they use this seeing and looking and learning method as a teaching method. That is why you see grandsons of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wasallam teaching that old person how to make wuzu. They told him that because when they found he was not making the wuzu properly, instead of rebuking him and scolding him and being abrupt to him, they told him that check our wuzu. Are we making it properly? And what a beautiful method of teaching. That they're telling the person who is not doing it properly that you check our method. And when you check our method, then you will be able to automatically learn. So when they did that, alhamdulillah, they were able to demonstrate a good method, a valid method, so that that person, that elderly person, was able to see it. And when he saw it, he realized, no, that he is making the wuzu in a wrong method. As a result, alhamdulillah, he was able to rectify it. So this was the method employed by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in, they saw it, they emulated it, transmitted it, and up to today, alhamdulillah, we are able to follow it carefully. So inshallah, we mentioning one more point and we will continue. Some have considered the second meaning of the hadith and interpreted it in accordance to the actual narration. They have interpreted it in the way that speech and actions of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam which emanates from him are regarded as sunnah and it's being narrated is that hadith. What they have done is they have combined the sunnah and the hadith. And they said that which has been narrated now, which has been recorded, which has been written down by the scholars and compilers of hadith, that is called hadith. So they have taken the sunnat and the hadith and have said all of this is called the hadith of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, in the next session we will discuss the hadith being a source of proof in Shariat. وآخر الدعوة الحمد لله رب العالمين